This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
What it do, boom.
Have you been looking for a new addition to your fitness routine lately?
Yes, and I have found one.
Really? Did you know that at-home boxing is one of the safest and most effective forms of exercise?
That's
you know
it.
That?
That's
well,
it.
Allow me to introduce you to Fight Camp. It's an interactive at-home boxing. Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world into your home and makes it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers with decades of experience teach you proper boxing form and technique. Fight Camp also has live punch counting stats that motivate you to push harder and help you map out your progress. Knockout achievements or go head-to-head against other members from across the country across the living room. Okay, Joe, have you done this product before?
Yeah, I actually started it last week, man.
Bro, what's it like?
It's really, you know, you don't have to leave the house or go to the gym, so there's no excuse not to exercise. It's right in front of you. The lessons are extensive. They're detailed, and that's good if you don't have any boxing training at all, which I don't. And the bag, it's not that cumbersome. You can stand it up wherever you want. You can put it to the side when you're not using it. And, I mean, between that, using the lessons and competing against whoever you want, friends, family, or just strangers around the world, it gives it an interactive part to it. It makes it a lot of fun, man. But I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah, one of the best things about Fight Camp is it makes boxing accessible to everyone. No matter what fitness level you're at, what your age is, what your experience with boxing is, you can do it. I know a lot of people out there, you know, probably haven't been to fight in their life, and Fight Camp can teach you, like, if you get bullied or get picked on, you know, you know at least you know how to punch somebody in the face and you're going to have a great time. So how do you think you would rank on the Fight Camp leaderboard, Joe? Would you be in first place, you think?
Oh, I'm working my way up to the top 10 worldwide. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, good grief. So join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home. Fight Camp packages start just $99. Even off some great financing options, you can get started as low as $9 a month. It's so cheap. To get everything you need, go to fightcamp.com/Conan to learn more. That's fightcamp.com/KONAN.
I've been in really bad condition, because I haven't been training. And I used to train. I've been training since I was a little kid. And everything that we sell on this show, we use ourselves. And the Fight Camp has been incredible because, as Joe mentioned, because Joe's the one that told me about it, as Joe mentioned, you know, you don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to change. You don't have to park anywhere. You don't have to pay gym memberships. And plus, like, I used to box in the service. And so I have a punching bag in my garage. And when you hit it, it swings back and forth. And, you know, somebody's got to hold it for you to really, you know, punch it. And this, nobody has to hold it. It doesn't swing back and forth. You don't got to hook it from the top of the roof. It just stands on the floor and you can go out there. And they have little video sessions. So if you only got 15 minutes, you can do a 15-minute workout. And it works every single, you know, muscle in your body. I highly recommend it.
Go to fightcamp.com/Conan to learn more. That's fightcamp.com/KONAN. Hey guys, Conan, I hope you had a good birthday. I thought you and Feeney did a real good job on the JFK K100 talks. Disco, you should probably do a bit of research before the next JFK discussion with Bin Hameen. You sound like a teenage girl that was trying to talk sports. That was a 10-8 round for Conan. I don't understand.
This is not a competition, dude.
Right, especially with JFK. I don't really know as much about JFK as these guys do, obviously. So
yeah, there's some
not,
stuff that
nor am I professing to.
Yeah, there's some stuff right. That Disco and Joe know more about me, so I defer to them, you know.
Right. Always. Anyways, Booker T recently had Ric Flair on his show, and they were talking about Biggie's injury. And Flair and Booker both criticized the ability to build a suplex on the concrete. Flair said he personally knew an agent approved the spot, how unsafe it was due to Biggie being 300 pounds. With all the unsafe spots in today's wrestling, how much should an agent get blamed when an injury occurs? When you guys would agent matches, how often would you have to shoot down spots you considered unsafe? Thanks, and that's Jason Turpin. A lot. Like a lot of these guys, like when they, you know, sometimes they would do something, I'd be like, bro, that's ridiculous. You know, it's like I didn't love it. Like you see, bro, especially in AEW, like I don't know who's there. I don't know what the agents are doing in AEW because there's like a lot of stuff that's like very dangerous looking, and like you're dealing with a lot of indie talent, and they're like. I'm not so sure these guys are skilled at that level to be doing stuff that have catastrophic injury risks, you know? So it's like, I don't know. Like you don't see Jericho doing a lot of crazy spots. You don't see Dustin Rhodes doing a lot of crazy. They just don't do it. But you see a lot of the guys from the indie, you don't see the FTR doing a lot of crazy spots. You know, it's just like the guys from the system of like work is like, bro, the main thing about being a good worker is staying safe and not hurting yourself. And a lot of guys that don't even really – I think people think – like people don't even know the definition of what work is. Good work is trying to make it look as real as possible without doing it for real. Okay, that's the best worker. I think people think good workers are guys that can jump off to – do a triple springboard off two ropes or
yeah, that's what modern work is to them.
Yeah, that's not work. That's just like athletic ability.
Right. But they don't know the difference, bro, because that's what they educated on. Right.
Yeah.
So bro, I agent most of the matches in AAA, or sometimes I'll send somebody that I know can put a match together because, you know, I got so many things that I got to do backstage. Mm-hmm. But they still got to come back with me and tell me what the finish is, and I have to prove it. And, bro, every show I got to tell somebody, no, you're going to get hurt. No, I've done it before. I'm not going to have that on my conscience. Cut it out. Or they'll do something. This is the biggest thing I have to worry about. They'll do something that's very illogical just to get a pop. I go, so what do you do? So why are you doing that? They go, because the people are going to pop. I go, all right, so they're going to pop. But it wasn't within the context of a match. It has no logic. So what are you going to do? Just go out into the ring and just, you know, run through a fucking glass, you know, through a windshield and jump off a lot, you know, jump off the roof and fucking get a fucking baseball bat with nails on it over your head, stuck in your head. Is that all you're going to do? Just pops for the sake of pops?
Right.
You know?
With a serious injury risk,
right?
It's like what's the purpose of that, right?
So
like,
now you're out. So now you're out for a couple of months. How are you going to make money? So no, bro, no, you can't do it.
Right. You've had how many times you have that conversation on the show?
Every TV.
Jesus Christ! You think they would learn, right?
Yeah.
What are you guys like the things I'm shooting down? What is the common denominator here? It's like you can get seriously hurt.
Right.
You know? It's like, you know, why would you want to do something where you can seriously? It's like really weird getting these wrestlers' mindsets today. Like, why would you willing to risk getting hurt, like breaking your neck or your?
Well, you know, when you're young, you don't really give a fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Next is from Fall Vampire. The subject's Falling Star. Hey guys, I was listening to Jim Cornette Experience. We were talking about Jericho losing a match to Ricky Starks. Basically, the point was that Jericho losing matches or storylines to young talent means nothing because Jericho is not a star anymore. I love K100, but I have to say that I think you guys give Jericho praise because in real life he's a friend of yours. No one is saying he's not a legend, but the fact is, honestly, Jericho can draw ratings. He's not a draw for ticket sales, so really him working with younger talent isn't helping. I would love to know what you guys think about what Cornette and Lass are saying. Also, you need to cut off Billy when he starts talking about himself. You can't think it makes good content. Only that prick could insult the audience for 30 minutes and then end by plugging his Patreon. We know he's full of shit. Well, we've had that conversation with him many times, so I don't, you know. But no, Cornette and Lass hate Jericho because Jericho was supported Trump. That's the main part of why Cornette really started, like, he turned on Jericho and just, like, really started hating him. So they're like, you know, I disagree with that. Jericho's still a star to me. You know,
here's the thing, bro. Let me
especially
piggyback
on that
off
show.
Of this.
Especially me, on that show, you know.
To me, you're just hating. Yeah. Because he was drawing last year and he would post it continuously. And bro, if you've been listening to the show, which obviously you haven't, you would know that friendship means nothing to us. We've gone in on Jericho before, on Cross, who's our boy, on Ray, on Dominic, who's my godson. So you obviously don't listen, or you would know, nutbag, to the 10th degree. So get the fuck out of here with that soft marshmallow shit. And bro, here's the great thing about Jericho. You're telling me, or Cornette is saying, that, you know, the guy doesn't get anything out of it. Bro, Jericho is showing you how to work, put together match, how to sell, sit under the fucking learning tree. He's been in with the best at the biggest level. And you think he couldn't help Ricky, who has been in the fucking indies his whole fucking career? Come on, dude. Yeah. Fuck out of here.
Next is from John Roddy, and the subject is Bucks. I really enjoyed this week's Billy Talks About Himself segment. I can't help but notice that Billy has stopped breaking news of the show, yet instead just talks about whatever's already out there that everyone already knows about. And he somehow claims to be the one breaking it. Vince selling WWE has been spoken about since before the pandemic, but asshole Billy really comes on here claiming it has his own story and Disco kisses his ass for it. It's like, bro, let me explain something to you about the Billy segment. I don't follow the dirt sheets and stuff or thing. So when Billy comes on and talks about, like, dirt sheet stuff, that's the first I'm hearing about any of this. And like, but I like to keep it short because all that stuff does not really interest me. I like the sports stuff, you know, like that. That's my.
Well, I actually told Joe to tell him, let's no more rants.
Yeah. And
straight
just do 10
sports,
minutes.
Yeah. Right? 10 minutes
and,
on the news.
And
the
hot news for 10 minutes. That's it, dude. Yeah. Because we got a lot to record.
Right. Speaking of people who need to let it go, it's come out that the Young Bucks contract with AEW runs out in late 2023, and Tony Khan is currently in talks with them to work on an extension. Question is why? It's been proven over and over again that they don't bring in ratings. They're not draws for AEW. They may be popular with AEW, but so is not showering. Do you think that Tony Khan should thank the Young Bucks for all their time, shake hands, and let them go? AEW's been around for about 4 years. If they're as stale gets, they need to cut some off the top names of the roster and push new people. K100 team, what say you? Well, what they didn't, that the Young Bucks did not give us, is they had a classic long-term feud right there in their lap with them, like them against FTR. Like the Midnight Express versus the Rock and Roll Express, which went on for a year.
Right?
They never did it. And that's still on the table. You can still do that.
Right.
It's like, I don't know why they don't go there. That seems, bro, especially like guys like FTR, who were like, you want their, like, they're
good at
fans,
everything. They'll cut good promos. They'll give you good ring match.
And they're fans of old school tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
So, like, they probably would love to be in, like, a long-term view, like they're the Midnight Express and the Young Bucks are the Rock and Roll Express and, like and do all the angles and stuff and, you know, have cage matches. And
let me explain.
They don't do anything with them, you know?
What's this guy's name?
John Roddy.
Okay. John Roddy, let me explain something to you. Young Bucks are good for the dressing room because they're easily approachable. They like to help people. They're just good people to have. There are certain people you want to have in your locker room. They always gave good matches. They don't care about losing or winning. They just want to entertain the people. They're just very good to have any way you cut it. The problem is you're right. They kind of have gotten stale. They need to kickstart their shit because they're entertaining, you know?
Yeah. And you know what too? I think what the Young Bucks' problem is, bro. They haven't cut a lot of good promos, you know. And it's like sometimes their backstage segments are kind of like weird, you know. Like I don't know. But I don't watch the being the elite stuff that like everybody thinks it puts over. So Conan,
what it do?
End the old year with a new you, and Close It will give you the confidence to tackle those 2023 resolutions. Thanks to our new sponsor, True Classic. You'll have everything you need to hit the gym, take it slow, or treat yourself to something nice. Let's get snatched in 2023, and daddies, I'm talking to you. True Classic has already helped over 2 million men look great in their tees, and now you can save big while you do so. For a limited time only, get 25% off with the code K100 at TrueClassic.com. True Classic will make you feel your best by accentuating the places that the eyes go to first, which is your body. And have you thought about upgrading your shirts? Almost all men's t-shirts are designed to look good to certain body types. That's why True Classic's team designed t-shirts to make the fellas of all sizes out there feel confident in their clothing. These tees taper off towards the bottom, but they fit tighter around the chest and shoulders. There's a desirable look to be achieved by every single body type. They give you the wide shoulder and tapered bottom look that we're all looking for, and the quality of the t-shirts are elite. From going to the gym to your first date, there's no better look than a fresh tee. I wear t-shirts all the time. And True Classic offers other menswear as well. The True Classic Activewear line makes physical features more flattering, and their fabrics are engineered for high-intensity workouts. I'd pair an active shirt with their fleece or quick-dry shorts or a pair of their comfy joggers. They also just released new button-downs and chinos, which are perfect for a nice night out. And you can never go wrong with their classic comfort collection of ultra-soft tees, briefs, hoodies, and much more. You know me, I'm a big hoodie guy. They have a pack builder on their site where you can customize the bundle you want and save even more. And for my big fellas out there, they have long options for the tall guys and up to triple XL. Now, True Classic also has a 100% risk-free guarantee with a 30-day return policy. That's great for you. The response to these tees are overwhelmingly positive, with over 200,000 five-star reviews. It's no wonder these t-shirts are quickly becoming men's go-to. So dad bods, we got you covered. Rip bods, you know it. Your average Joe, that's you. Yes, sir. Get 25% off at TrueClassic.com with the code K100. That's 25% off with the code K100 plus free shipping on purchases over $100. New year, new me, and new tees. Thanks to True Classic at TrueClassic.com.
Bro, these are great. They're comfortable. You know, and like he said, they come in so many different styles. The one that I got, they have polos, they have V-necks, they have long sleeves. They got, you know what a Henley shirt is, D.I.?
Oh, Henley shirt?
Yeah.
No.
Those are the ones that have no collar, and they're kind of round, and they have buttons right here. And they have different colors. It's very, very comfortable. And, you know, it does a real good job of accentuating your upper body. They're very, very comfortable, you know, and I highly recommend it. So, you know, get your attire on at True Classic Tees. Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Next from Robbo and somebody's Jericho question. Hey, K100 crew, hope everyone is doing well. Disco, you were underrated with your Saturday Night Fever characters, as you did captivate fans' attention. Conan, it was a shame WCW never made you world champion, especially when you were the voice of the NWO Wolfpack, and in my opinion, was a big part of the faction. On to the question, I was always a fan of Jericho, popped huge for his WWE debut in 99, his return near the end of 2007. His work with Shawn Michaels in 2008 was the best of his career. I would definitely agree with that. I still appreciate his work, but ever since he hit a fan who was a female during an altercation in Victoria, British Columbia, I haven't really been a fan because that goes against my morals and values. I have no clue about this. My question is, what is your viewpoint on that altercation? If you have answered this before, I apologize. Thank you for the great shows each and every week. Have you heard about this?
Okay, so let me just say right now, I remember seeing this a long time ago, but I think he pushed her butt. This is right up Joe's alley. So I'll give it to you. Did he hit her? Did he push her? Or what happened? Did she hit him first?
He was a heel at the time. It was in British Columbia, as the guy said, and he got swarmed in the parking lot. And security wasn't helping him. So they were like pushing the car and trying to get in. And he got out of the car. I don't know if they pulled the
door open or what. Which happens
a lot. Yeah. And a guy pushed him and she spit on him. And then it turned all haywire and shit. But I never once saw him punch.
What's all haywire? Did he push her? Did he slap her?
I think he pushed her. The camera was very shaky at the time because, like I said, it went a little
nuts. What happened, dude? Come on, stop the
bullshit. No, I'm serious.
What happened?
You can't tell. He just defended himself and he was yelling at security. Do your fucking job.
Okay, but did he punch her? Did he push her? Did he grab her?
Like he pushed her out of the car.
If you're getting attacked by a mob, yeah. If you're getting attacked by a mob,
bro, if she spit at you, your natural reaction would be to fucking, hey,
right,
back the fuck up.
You can do that. Spitting on somebody's assault.
Yeah. It's been a minute since I saw it. If I remember it, I think he punched the guy and he kind of mushed her away because she was in the car, leaning in.
Disco just told me something I wasn't aware of. She assaulted him. If spitting is assault.
Yeah,
it is.
And he pushed her back, which is, you know, self defense. How do you know she don't have a knife? She don't have mace. She don't fucking whatever. You know, you're out there in real time. This is not defending it, but it's happened to me a lot in Mexico where they're rocking the car and they're not letting the car back up and they're getting on top of the roof and you're like, what the fuck, dude? Let me get the fuck out of here. So, you know, at that time, your emotions override your intelligence and sometimes you make mistakes. But no, bro, I'm not going to hold that against him for the rest of his fucking life because I'm sure, Rob, if we were to fucking document your life, you've done a lot of stupid shit too and you don't want to be fucking held accountable for the rest of your fucking life.
Right.
Do you want to knock it off, snowflakes?
Do you want to see it so you can kind of get the idea or you want to
just try and find it.
Okay.
Next is from Brian Dunlap. That's a resident supermarket in the YouTube.
Right.
Should AEW turn Hangman Page heel? Hello, Conan Disco. I'm catching up on AEW Dynamite. I see Hangman Page kind of promo. The crowd boos when he talks about not being medically cleared to compete. Right now, AEW is doing a babyface versus babyface feud between Hangman Page and Moxley. And should the company turn one of them heel, preferably Page? Page could back out of his scheduled fight with Mox, citing medical reasons, and he could jump him, catch him off guard, and lay in a beating, turning heel in the process. What do you think is the time to turn Hangman? By the way, I'm still in the middle of watching the Hangman Moxley segment from last week's Dynamite. I put on pause to write this email. Okay, well, that last part wasn't necessary. But, I mean, I don't know. He still gets a pop as a babyface. And he's still with the dark. He would have turned on the Dark Order because if fans like the Dark Order, it would be the best way to turn him heel, I guess. You know?
I would turn him on both, but it's true. The crowd was booing him a little bit when he said he wasn't medically cleared. But I think they were booing him more because they wanted to see the fight, not because they don't like him.
You know, he started getting booed right after all that punk stuff. So, okay, here's this clip.
Well, depending on the modicum of the boos, if they're really glaring and it's happening continuously, that would be a good time to do it.
Okay.
All right, here goes this clip. Like, you'll see what I mean. It's kind of tough to tell because it's 15 years old, dude. Not everyone had a great camera, you know?
Well, it kind of looks like he's getting assaulted here.
He's trying to tell security, yeah.
So you got the marks insulting him as a shoot. Pushing him.
Can I get a picture with
Yeah, she just shoved him.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Joe. You can't tell what happened. This is great. I didn't know he was really an asshole. Well, fuck, how have you been treating the guy?
Yeah, look at this. You got people that, bro, there's like mob attacking the guy.
So you instigate the motherfucker. Hey, yeah. Fuck you, motherfucker. You ain't a Canadian. And the other girl, you know, everybody insulting him, pushing him. He's a heel, right?
Yes, he was.
So, and then you get spit in the face. You're supposed to do nothing. Just take it.
Jesus.
All right. Would Next you do that in the street? Would you spit on somebody on the street and expect them not to do anything?
Yeah, not expect a reciprocation.
You're on the streets right now. Mm-hmm. You know?
Next is from Tony Roach. The subject is Disneyland Wrestling. Hey, what's going on, K100 Crew? I have a question. I was listening to Jim O'Brien last week talk about the WWE being sold to Disney and laughed it off. But it made me think if the WWE did sell to Disney, would the character be portrayed at Disneyland legally, at Disneyland legally be okay, or would the wrestlers themselves be there as themselves at the theme parks? Could the wrestler sue them for gimmick infringement or anything of the sort, or be held accountable to portray a wrestling character without damaging him or her?
I have no clue. I found that kind of interesting, you know, because it's like you could have in different parks, obviously, Hulk Hogan dressed up like Hulk Hogan. You know, not him, but there could be people playing the characters in each park, I guess he's saying. And would the guys be compensated for it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
If Disney buys WWE, they're buying everybody's IP. Yeah. And I don't think they'd have the wrestlers out there. They might, but I think they'd just do a ride or some sort of attraction based on WWE. Mm-hmm. You know, you're simulated that you're coming down and getting into the ring. And I don't know. Who knows what the fuck they could come up with.
Conan, I have a question for you.
What to do? Boom.
Have you been taking your Athletic Greens?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, well, that Athletic Greens is a fantastic product. Athletes use this. Basically, what Athletic Greens is, it's all of your nutrients all in one nutritional drink. I started taking Athletic Greens because I take, like, you know, when you take vitamins, I have like 9 bottles of vitamins that I take. And it's just a complete pain in the ass. Like, go, you know, having to open them and pour them every day and everything. But that's Athletic Greens. It's just a powder. You put it in, you can shake it. You can mix it with protein drinks. You can mix it with juice. You can mix it with water. You can take it before your workouts. You can take it in the morning. You can take it after your workouts. It's comprehensive health and the power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. So I take mine usually after I work out. And athletes are just all in on this. You know, they have one thing in common with athletes. They take care of their bodies. And a huge part of that starts with, you know, whole body health. And they take AG1. And that's why I'm a huge fan of that. It has 75 high-quality ingredients that gives you daily nutrients and long-term gut health support. That's the best thing about this is that it helps your digestive process. If you're having bad digestion or, you know, you're going to the bathroom, it doesn't look good, you know, Athletic Greens, you know, puts us in the right direction.
Or if you're feeling backed up and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, and all of this for just less than $3 a day. How great is that? It's an effective daily habit with the highest quality source ingredients. It's a win-win. So if a comprehensive solution is what you need for your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Conan, K-O-N-N-A-N. That's Athletic Greens, athleticgreens.com/Conan. Check it out.
Yo, so check it out. It helps hydrate the body. It's packed with vitamins and minerals. It boosts your immune system. It has so many benefits. As you know, we're big on wellness here. And bro, like, your body needs like 11 elements, but only 6 of them, like, are the most important one, which is like oxygen, nitrogen, phosphorus. And this is packed with everything that you need. You don't have to go and cut, you know, fruits or vegetables or anything like that. All these minerals and vitamins and everything that you need to maintain good health in one drink. It don't get better than that. I drink this every day. Disco was drinking it before I was. You know, he swears by it. So, you know, stay in shape and stay healthy. Get your Athletic Greens. Boom.
Next is from Wayne Grohlfein. Subject is Monet. I'm a week behind, but I finally got to see the debut of Sasha Banks, Mercedes Monet, in New Japan. Frankie thought it was botch after botch after botch. Her entry music was terrible. Her wig looked like somehow some low-budget Halloween stuff. She botched whatever move she tried to do, and that promo was so bad that she sounded like she was drunk. Go back and check it out. She can't pronounce words ending in E. She looked hot as F, though. Let's keep it 100 here. She does look hot. I've seen this so many times in New Japan and AEW and WWE stars debut, and it's just instantly bad. Am I going nuts, or is this a common thread? By the way, guys, Billy says he doesn't like the WWE show spoilers. Then ask him how can we post the Raw and SmackDown spoilers in full on his Twitter every Monday and Friday. Or are you guys too afraid to call him out on his double standards? Bro, tweeting the card is not a spoiler. Like, he's not tweeting who's winning the matches or what's happening in the show. He just tweets the card. You know, that's not a spoiler. It's like, a spoiler is tweeting the result of the main event before the show takes place, because you knew what the main event result was. That's a spoiler. You spoiled it.
Right.
You
know? And I take particular umbrage. What a tremendous word for a Latino while on a podcast where you're trying to reverse psychology. Or are you guys too afraid to call him out on his double standards? Bro, we're not afraid of shit. That's what makes us who we are. We call people out on their shit. Yeah, we don't attack. And sometimes people come on here and they're, why didn't you ask him this? Why didn't you do that? We're not on here to attack people. We want people to return. Because if you fuck somebody over the first time and you ambush him, they ain't coming back again. And we already have a bad reputation as it is. We're trying to get people to come on the show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so don't you try to use reverse psychology, you walking glory hole. And as a late Christmas present, may the whole ECW, I know Joe likes this, the whole ECW Originals locker room give you a dirty Sanchez. Yes. Please explain to him what a dirty Sanchez is, Joe.
That's when you stick your finger in someone's ass and then draw a mustache over someone's top lip with whatever result.
And you can
get
very creative, from the Hulk Hogan, which is the fucking Fu Manchu, to the Archie, which is the freckles.
There's an Abe Lincoln.
And my favorite, the Hitler.
I just wanted to say I can answer this guy's question. What Billy posts for as far as spoilers for SmackDown and Raw, he posts the match listings and the segments. And I believe the point is that he takes them off Sean Ross Sapp's Patreon and posts them so people don't pay Sean Ross Sapp. That's right. What I think. Yeah.
Because it's just because that's like lame content. You know,
yeah, like, it's like that's a troll.
Posting was the card for SmackDown this week tonight. You know, so.
Basically.
Next is from Naul Abu, and the subject is WWE growth and numbers. It's from Naul in Portland. Hey, Disco Conan and Joe, how are you doing? This is my first email to you guys. I recently got tier 4 for $25 on Patreon. Thank you. Speaking of numbers, ever since fans came back fully from COVID, it seemed like there was a new life in the product. This has shown a lot in the ratings for the past few years. So much of the SmackDown this past Friday, the last thing with Reigns and John Cena had nearly 2.85 million viewers. Wow. Mm. Nevertheless, my question for the crew is, with the possible return of The Rock and several potential great feuds going to WrestleMania, could SmackDown reach 4 million viewers again? God, no. This guy, they got a long way to go to get back to that. That's a lot of people. No.
Maybe when The Rock is on.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe when The Rock is on, it might. You know, with The Rock segment.
Yeah, but not without The Rock.
The Rock in the ring with a verbal confrontation with Roman Reigns would do a huge number.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Or Rock and Cena, you know, against the Usos or whoever, you know.
Right. Okay, so Adam Hughes has an email. He's probably going to get suspended.
Okay, wait one minute.
It's Hughesy.
Is his last suspension up, Joe?
Yeah.
Right. Subject is 35 million. Swan sent an email to congratulate the show on officially passing 35 million views on YouTube. There was a mild dip in views in November, but wouldn't you know it, views start rising as soon as the Wrestling Former was stopped being uploaded. It's almost as if the K100 YouTube subscribers don't like Billy and don't want Wrestling Former on the channel. I can see the view count and subscriber count is back on the rise, so here's to a great 2023 for the Conan and Hughesy show. P.S. What do you guys think about thigh slapping? P.S. Oh, does Bill Body care about his Yeah, I'm not going to read this. This is him trying to be funny.
Ban him.
Yeah, he's banned again.
That's it, buddy.
Next is
for Joe. What do you think is appropriate?
Give him a month.
Yeah, he's been getting a month recently.
Good. Give him another one.
Next is from C. Allen. The subject is Vince's WWE sale as a storyline. Hi, K100 crew. By now, we all know that Vince is back in charge of WWE and reportedly came back with the intention to help facilitate a sale of the company sometime this year. I thought it was interesting that WWE stock rose when the news broke, especially since every journalist talks about how toxic Vince has become for the company. My question is this. Now that Vince is back, do you think it's possible we could see Vince on TV more often, possibly even with the WWE sales storyline lead up to the actual sale, or do you think Vince stays away from TV altogether? I know it's ridiculous, but it can't be ruled out entirely, right? Thanks, and that's some kicks. K100
Callen, C. Allen, or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Vince.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to do the whole sales of storyline stuff that he said. But Raw's 30-year anniversary is in like 2 weeks, and mm-hmm. I would imagine Vince is going to come out. You know, maybe open the show.
Right. Wonder what the type of reaction he's going to get.
Philadelphia. They'll get a good one.
Next is from Jose Sanchez. Subject: V came back with a vengeance. Hello, K100 crew. Hope everyone is doing well, and the new year is off to a great start. Conan, glad you're doing better and hope you find the kidney this year. So VCAM has returned to the board. I think this leads to many questions. Is this because the show started to get good and recently has been underwhelming? Is WWE potentially going to be sold? Will VCAM eventually take over creative again? Is this the first stop? I know it's a lot, but just looking for some overall thoughts. Thank you, and this Jose, Queens, New York. P.S. Joe, I'm not getting that shirt, am I? Conan Disco, I have new changes to bring up, charges to bring up against Joe. I have the proof that he's a louse, a punk, and a twerp.
Those are fighting words in the 40s, Joe.
Yeah, especially louse.
2020.
Happened, Jose, and this is for the listeners so they know as well, our long-term Patreon subscribers were given the choice of a shirt to order, and we were going to send it to them. They all got sent around Christmas. Pro Wrestling Tees is very busy around Christmas, so you should get it any day now, I would imagine.
But if it doesn't come in, continue to use violent, vehement language and your next few emails directed at Joe.
Bastard.
Conan, I have a question for you.
What to do? Boom.
Have you been taking your Athletic Greens?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, well, that Athletic Greens is a fantastic product. Athletes use this. Basically, what Athletic Greens is, it's all of your nutrients all in one nutritional drink. I started taking Athletic Greens because I take, like, you know, when you take vitamins, I have like 9 bottles of vitamins that I take. And it's just a complete pain in the ass. Like, go, you know, having to open them and pour them every day and everything. But that's Athletic Greens. It's just a powder. You put it and you can shake it. You can mix it with protein drinks. You can mix it with juice. You can mix it with water. You can take it before your workouts. You can take it in the morning. You can take it after your workouts. It's comprehensive health and the power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. So I take mine usually after I work out. And athletes are just all in on this. You know, they have one thing in common with athletes. They take care of their bodies. And a huge part of that starts with, you know, whole body health. And they take AG1. And that's why I'm a huge fan of that. It has 75 high-quality ingredients that gives you daily nutrients and long-term gut health support. That's the best thing about this is that it helps your digestive process. If you're having bad digestion or, you know, you're going to the bathroom, it doesn't look good, you know, Athletic Greens, you know, puts us in the right direction.
Or if you're feeling backed up and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, and all of this for just less than $3 a day. How great is that? It's an effective daily habit with the highest quality source ingredients. It's a win-win. So if a comprehensive solution is what you need for your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Conan, K-O-N-N-A-N. That's Athletic Greens, athleticgreens.com/Conan. Check it out.
Yo, so check it out. It helps hydrate the body. It's packed with vitamins and minerals. It boosts your immune system. It has so many benefits. As you know, we're big on wellness here. And bro, like, your body needs like 11 elements, but only 6 of them like are the most important one, which is like oxygen, nitrogen, phosphorus. And this is packed with everything that you need. You don't have to go and cut, you know, fruits or vegetables or anything like that. All these minerals and vitamins and everything that you need to maintain good health in one drink. It don't get better than that. I drink this every day. Disco was drinking it before I was. You know, he swears by it. So, you know, stay in shape and stay healthy. Get your Athletic Greens. Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Under Dawson, the subject is failure. Am I going crazy, or did I really just listen to one of your YouTube clips that had Billy Body saying he sent Conan ideas how to make K100 better? Billy Body's a guy who doesn't even know how to use a microphone. He's telling effing Conan, one of the greatest podcasts in the world, how to fix up a show. That's total bullshit, guys. I know how to fix K100. Stop having some asshole on who doesn't know how to get recording equipment set up and spends 15 minutes talking about himself. The fucking balls of that guy to even think about saying that to Conan.
It's a rough week.
I have a big question, though, guys. It's about MJF. Since he became AEW champion, their ticket sales and TV ratings have dropped. No one is saying that MJF sucks because he doesn't, but the simple fact he's not top guy material. Plus, it's not like it was a one-off thing. It's been about 2 to 3 months now, and AEW's been in the shitter. Based on what I'm asking you guys is, who do you think should be replacing MJF, and why did Dershy guys keep talking about MJF like he's a huge wrestling draw, even though there's so much indisputable evidence to prove he isn't? First of all, I'm going to say this, and this is tried and true. When the Dirt Sheet guys and the Mark podcasters put over the shows, they don't do well in the ratings. Like the Dirt Sheet guys, just they all like stuff that doesn't draw. Like all of them. Like, and you can just it's a very simple. I mean, you can go back and just look at the comments they make, or when they podcast afterwards, and think when they're talking about these shows, they don't do well numbers wise. And that's been kind of obvious for years now. But Billy did give Conan a couple good ideas for the show that we actually started implementing. We have a sports show now, so that's that was Billy's idea. That's actually not a bad idea.
He has no good ideas. He's a witless Nimrod.
Well, they just don't like him.
It triggers you to the point that you can see nothing right. Positive. So it's the old, when you hate somebody, there's nothing they do that you're gonna ever like. You know what I'm saying? And they're never going to get over with you. And that's the thing with him. He does have some good ideas, you know, just like Hughesley does for YouTube, even though he's an Irish lush and it's banned for a month.
All right, here we go.
What do you think about what he said about MJF on top and the ticket sales and the ratings and whatnot? I would just say AEW to me.
That's not his fault.
Yeah, AEW just.
He's the most over guy there.
He's the most over guy there. But, you know, some parts of the show.
The best promos in wrestling.
It's
the part. Was a great heel, is a great heel. So what are you talking about?
Well, I'll say this. Let me say this. This is one thing where you can go, Disco was right again, okay? Bro, he's not drawing during this period of time where they thought that this stupid seven-match series between the Elite and the guys in a six-man tag match and everything that hasn't done positive numbers since it's been on TV in six straight weeks. That segment decreases in viewers every single week with the six-man thing. That's not MJF's fault. Okay, there's a lot of stuff they put on the show where the ratings go down.
He's on a product that isn't as hot as it used to be.
Exactly. And like, they're put a lot of wax.
And he made it hot. He helped make it hot.
Exactly. He absolutely did. And like, so he's and but you can just watch the show.
He's still the most guy.
You don't miss MJF stuff. Who misses MJF stuff on the show? Like when MJF is on, do you turn the channel when his stuff is on? No, of course not. You know, next from Jared Aviat. Oh my God. Subject is Chris Jericho's problems in WWE and the spaz. Hey, K100 fam. Happy New Year. Hope everyone's doing well and hope you're feeling a bit better now, Conan. Wanted to ask a throwback question for you guys. It's been well documented, especially by the man himself in his book, that Chris Jericho had mega heat in WWE in 1999 with members of DX and with Vince McMahon himself. Jericho felt lost in WWE for a few months up until the Radicals jumped ship to WWE in early 2000. Since you guys are friends with Jericho in WCW, did Jericho ever confide in you about his problems in WWE? Perhaps Did Conan give Jericho advice on how to swim in those shark-infested waters at the time? Curious to your thoughts. Also, nice to see that Creative had no plans for Charlotte Flair last week, according to Pakistani Jason Schwartzman, a.k.a. Big Talking Body. Yet another dud from this bloody gala. We talked about this last week, Jared, is that nobody reported Charlotte Flair, which was actually good because it was a surprise.
Yeah,
because
it was probably kept between four people or something, and they didn't get out.
Right. So that's
if his source is like two, like within 20 people, and those guys weren't lit on it, only four, well, his source didn't know about it either.
Right. Yeah. Well, as far as Jericho, we talked about this a little last week when I was saying to you guys that he had a lot of heat with DX guys when he came in, and there might have been some problems there. So he wasn't happy at first, but I'm interested in that question too. Did he ever confide in you guys that, man, I got heat here and I don't know why, and what should I do? How do I get out? How do I, not have problems with these guys or whatever?
Did he ever remember talking to him at the time, because he didn't confide anything. I just was reading about it, and I asked him if it was true, and he said, yeah. Mm. And, I gave him advice at that time. I don't really remember what it was, but and we talked about it afterwards. But yeah, they just felt that he didn't have the WWE style. Mm-hmm.
Next is from Suganda Chanko. The subject is Alexa Bliss. Hey, K100 crew, happy new year, and I wish Conan a clean bill of health in the new year. I just watched Raw and saw the Alexa beatdown of Bianca Belair. The first thing I thought was, should she not sell register her back when hitting someone with a DDT on steel steps, because your back is also hitting the steps. But Lexa's work over the last year has not been up to par, in my opinion. She seems stale, and the fact that she's 5 feet tall and 80 pounds also takes me out of it. Do you guys think WWE should cut ties with her or book her differently? Also, do you think Triple H needs to make better use of NXT to replace people underperforming on Raw and SmackDown? There's a lot of women on NXT who are green but can outperform a lot of the girls on main roster. Why is this Nikita Lyons girl not on the main roster yet?
Isn't she hurt?
Probably not ready.
Is she hurt? Oh, I don't know, because I looked at her and I was like, wow, that girl would probably draw on the main roster. Her work looked pretty
decent.
Last
I heard, she was hurt.
Oh, she is okay. All right. There are other girls I don't watch. I can't comment. I don't know the girls in NXT.
What do you think? I wouldn't say cut. No, in no way should they cut ties with Alexa. She's been around. She's hot. She's popular. And they sell those dolls and everything. Obviously, she's worth the TV time they give her. I mean, I don't know about if her work's gotten worse or anything, but.
Yeah, her work has gotten worse.
Has it? Because she does have some worth as a personality and a character.
She's just so small. It's like you said, bro. She's like, I don't even think she's 5 feet.
Yeah.
She's not physical enough for it to resonate. She was a lot better when I first saw her a few years ago, but she's gotten kind of like in a comfort zone.
Next is from Adam DeMoy, the guy that got me heat with Tony Schiavone.
Oh, yeah.
Subject is women's wrestling full circle. Disco K-Dog and the Wanda fanboy Joe. Has the women's revolution come full circle from the days of Braun Panties, Playboy with Sable and Tori Wilson, China through the Divas, Butterfly McCool belt, and OK Wrestling, to Charlotte, Sasha, Blitz, Lynch, show-stealing matches, and finally back to Mandy Rose's tits and ass exhibitionist, and the rest of the simp Instagram wrestling diva models? Disco, has women's pro wrestling come back to the very point in time that women's wrestling was trying to move away from? Why aren't coming women's wrestlers criticizing these Instagram sluts when they have been trying for a long time to get their dwindling wrestling audience to give two shits about women's wrestling? P.S. I think Vince McMahon was right all along. Dye your hair blonde and get some implants. Quote, wrestling fans don't want to get jacked up. They want to jack off, pal. Unquote. That's a VCAM quote.
I don't know why that's I don't know why that's in quotes, because I've never heard that before. I don't know if that's a real quote or not.
I'll just say this. It says women's wrestling is bro. When they went to diversity, equity, inclusion, like the women's revolution, we're going to give them as much TV time and as the guys in the show. It's like you just got a lot of performers on there that aren't that good. I mean, they're women, but they're not that good at performers. So some of them are good. A handful of girls are really good, and the rest of them are kind of like average at best. Would you agree with that?
I've had a lot of girls say, I want to look like a strong woman after show tits and ass. Well, if you got it, why aren't you flaunting it and monetizing it? Because you ain't going to have it forever. Not everybody has it. I don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? It's like a guy with a nice physique and he covers it up. Okay, so what do you have a nice physique for? Have it covered up?
Yeah, and like I said last week, there's a lot of hypocrisy in the fan base, because on one side of the coin, they're always like, you should respect them for their work and their athleticism. And then on the other side of the coin, all these women wrestler only fans are making a shitload of money, and it's probably subscribed to by the guys that are saying, show them respect.
Next is from Mark. Somebody says, Disco Rules. Mitch, please.
Salutations. Okay, is this Mitch Valentine?
No, it's not, but it's Mark. Okay. He's talking about Mitch Valentine. Salutations to the superior one, the great KO double G, and the one of the elusive podcast wars, podcast of the year, JoJo the Philly entrepreneur. Compliments for Discos. Discos is still the only reason to describe DeRusso's Patreon with this thought-provoking informative content. Discos should be commended for always keeping his cool, even when dealing with wrestling Twitter fans. Recently, Durbin's boy Mitch, Don't Call Me Valentine, Manslaughter posted a video called Smell the Disco. See, you want to play this show?
Yep.
As an expert in the field of professional wrestling, do you think Mitch would appear more menacing if he had face paint on similar to Warhorse? Okay, so let's watch this video.
You see, I'm Mitch Manslaughter. Nah. And sometimes you gotta take out the trash. Sometimes you gotta tie the bag up. And you gotta take the walk. And you gotta throw it in here. The dumpster. The dumpster doesn't smell very good. And Disco Inferno, you got a big ass nose. And you can smell a lot of things. And what you need to smell is Mitch Manslaughter. I'm 10 hours away from you, Disco. I'll just hop in the car. I'll hop in the truck. I'll hop in the van. Mitch Manslaughter's got many vehicles to choose from. Mitch Manslaughter. And I'll hop in a vehicle, Disco. And I'll come to Vegas. And I'll come get ya. Yeah. Because I'm here to destroy you, Disco. Yeah.
Bro, this is so bad it's good. That was absolutely brutal. That was terrible on all fronts. Let me start off.
I mean, he wants to work with me, and he's that's his promo?
Okay, let me just say this. Terrific. So first of all, this is like when you rap. Some guy can freestyle, and some guy's got to write shit down. He was freestyling, and he was getting – there's a part when he's throwing out the trash – and he has to stop because he's thinking of the next line. He didn't even go over his lines and write them down and deliver a good promo. He tried to freestyle it. It was terrible. It was rambling. It was all over the place. At one point, he said, you had a big nose. What does that have to do with anything, even though it's true? This was absolutely terrible. No way he could ever be an actor in a movie. That's like you know, public access TV acting. He could be an extra maybe, a one that had no lines. That's terrible, Mitch. Okay, here.
Yeah, I think Mitch has a habit of releasing first takes when he should try to do it a couple of times. Obviously, that was just
That's coming from horrific. Joe.
This is horrifically
Spielberg
horrific.
Yeah.
So next is from Anthony Hunt. The subject is Gracian Waller question. K100 crew. Greetings, crew. Big fan. Love when Disco buried the dirt sheets. Big question. Gracian Waller had major upside killer on the mic, strong Instagram following. Have you seen him in action? What's your take? Love to see him mix it up with Jake Paul. Conan will always be best part of the Wolfpack. Sincerely, Anthony Hunt. Is this the guy from NXT?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's decent, but we don't watch NXT anymore, so I don't really can't comment on this.
Yeah,
you know?
But he does have the makings of a star.
Next is from Alexis Figueroa. The subject is destroy and not rebuild. Hello, team. Thanks for having the best podcast around. My question comes in a comparison mode. I've been a New York Jets fan most of my life, and believe me, this is a hard task. However, just like we discovered that Zach Wilson is only good to bag MILFs, Hit Row, especially Top Dollar, comes off as not ready for prime time with only so much the group can cover for his massive falls. Question, will you implode the group and separate them in different gimmicks and be done with this dumpster fire of a tag team? Disco, if you can get this guy up to speed, there is nothing anyone could say about your ability as a trainer. Alex Ibrahant, P.S. Alex Ibrahantis and Stokely Hathaway should be entered the new slap league Dana White is putting together. However, not against each other. we'll Top Dollar. They're turning him heel, and he's far more entertaining as a heel than he is a babyface. So we'll let this,
and one thing I would say, I would not separate them because they would all probably sink, and I would keep them together as a group.
Yeah. Next is from Christian Cole. The subject is second best angle in wrestling today. And greetings, gentlemen. Going to go straight to the point. Since before last WrestleMania, you've been sitting on the second best angle professional wrestling. It's the battle between the fanny pack cowboy Bill Body and the K100 audience. Sure, this storyline has been building for so long, we need a great conclusion. My question is the following. Can we have it sometime, maybe WrestleMania week, have a cordial debate between a few selected K100 audience listeners and Mr. Body? Disco, you can even be debate moderator. Come on, guys. Don't sit on this great angle like Tony Khan would. Give the people what they want. Stay high, the great Dr. Dank. That's not a bad idea.
Not at all.
Absolutely. This is actually like we don't take suggestions, but this is a good idea. And I'm gonna waive that. I'm gonna see if Billy is willing to do a roundtable with his critics in the K100 audience. Would you like to see that? Coming?
Yeah, because I see a lot of venom being spewed by the K100 audience, and he can spit venom, so this will be good.
Yeah, it might be good. It might be classic. It might be a new segment. Yeah.
Billy so fires next, back.
Right. Next is some Crapple King Dre. Not a subject is not a question, but a reply. Hello, K100. Love to listen to the show, but can't take Billy. I know Conan say you don't like, don't listen. That's fair, but I don't listen to the show for Billy. I listen to hear Conan and Disco. Back in 2017, I listened to Billy, but quickly got ignored with him downing others and saying he was always right. I seen he wasn't correct on everything either. The guy's doing the same thing 5 years later. I know you guys like him a lot, but a lot of your subscribers don't. Practice what you preach and listen to your fans. All right, so we've already talked
about
this.
Well, yeah. You're right.
Yeah,
right.
Covered it.
Okay. Next is from Dale M. Fortunio, and the subject is Hot, Hot Heat. What's up, dudes? A while back, he claimed that Seth Rollins is best in the business as far as getting heat because he could take a loss and still be highly relevant. Across all companies, this trade has diminished because of public opinion. My question is, why would someone go into wrestling without realizing that causing controversy or changing your image can help you out most of the time? To me, I believe that these outside endeavors such as Twitch and Twitter accounts cloud their judgment with the regular jobs. What do you guys think? P.S. I'm a fan of Billy, but the dude's got to stop sounding like he's a broadcasting underwater. He may have Momoa hair, but he's not Aquaman. That's actually good. I've never heard that correlation, but he does have the Momoa hair.
Mm-hmm.
What do you so outside endeavors?
I guess what he's
someone going.
Yeah, without, what he's saying is these guys that are presented as heels on TV or girls, then on their social media, don't act the same way, and they're trying to be, you know, like Conan said, everybody wants to be loved, right? And that's counterproductive towards your television persona.
Yeah. So next, the last one is from.
Let me just say my argument for that. I know that's the new school way of thinking and maybe the future, but because they want to sell t-shirts and be liked and people buy their shit. But I just think that you could make just enough. You could make the same amount of money if you stay in character.
Yeah, true. Next is from Ben Baham, and the subject is Larry Dallas. Greetings, guys. Pick up your show a few months ago and love it. The banner is wildly entertaining. Listen to things like your listeners and sometimes y'all. Barry, a know-it-all like Barry on how wrong he constantly is podcast gold. My question is about Larry Dallas. I always enjoyed listening to him on another platform before the fat-ass Bully Ray got him removed from it. And then his ridiculous cancellation by the woke mob from MLW. I don't know anything about this show. Maybe we'll be curious, okay? We'll be hearing more from him in the show outside of AAA Talk. He brings a lot to your show and definitely more interesting than Billy. Thanks and keep up the good work. What is that what happened with him and MLW, the woke mob?
I'm trying to, let me see. This is from about 5 years ago. And apparently there was a female fan that had a problem with Michael Elgin. And I guess said he was hitting her up in her tweets or something. And because one of his wrestlers supposedly sexually assaulted her and Michael Elgin defended the guy. Okay. So Larry Dallas responded to some of her tweets. It doesn't really explain much, but I guess he was taking the side against her, and MLW took him off the show for that, for defending Michael Elgin. That's it.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, right now Larry's going to do Lucha Libre. If you guys want to hear him, if I get enough requests and you want to hear him maybe on a K100 Talks or a sports segment because he likes sports, or maybe go over a show with us, that could happen in the future too, but I think he's on enough with the Lucha segment. We got enough shit to do as it is.
All right. Well, that's been the mailbag.